hold the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind at 855-453. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can join us on our website. Head over to freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features that we share with you there. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. Still to come here tonight, some news about teenagers and marijuana use. Julia has a story about that. 855-453, the toll-free number. We're here live, Christmas Eve edition of the program, and we're here to take your calls, as we always do. So let's go to the phones and the fun. First, we'll talk to Christian, listening in Kansas City. Christian, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Julia.
Hello there. Happy holidays, by the way.
Indeed, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. So what I wanted to share was some paragraphs that I thought were relevant to the pizza guy saying that he thought maybe knowledge was unattainable. And so I get this from Ayn Rand. And so she wrote this: men have been wrong, and then therefore he implies that they can never know what is right. But if they cannot know, how did they ever discover that they were wrong? How can one form such concepts as a mistake or error while wholly ignorant of what is correct? Error signifies a departure from truth. The concept of error logically presupposes that one has already grasped in truth. If truth were unknowable, as Descartes implies, the idea of departure from it would be meaningless. And just one more paragraph. The same point applies to concepts denoting specific forms of error. We cannot ever be certain that an argument is logically valid. If validity is unknowable, then the concept of invalid reason is impossible to reach or apply. If we cannot ever know that a man is sane, then the concept of insanity is impossible to form or define. If we cannot recognize the state of being awake, then we cannot recognize or conceptualize a state of not being awake, such as dreaming. If man cannot grasp X, then non-X stands for nothing. And then fallibility does not make knowledge impossible. Knowledge is what makes possible the discovery of fallibility.
Well, I'm certainly no, I'm not an acolyte of Ayn Rand. I think that there's some that's in that statement agreeable. I think that, however, as we were discussing in the last hour about the idea of knowledge, I think that you ultimately can't really know anything outside of you. You can come to some kind of understanding of what you've observed and come to conclusions based on that, but ultimately you can't really know for sure. But inside of you, I think that you can. You can absolutely know the sensations and the feelings that that you're experiencing from whatever stimuli you're receiving. But ultimately, you'll never know, for instance, whether or not, you know, you're stuck in the matrix with some sort of thing jacked into your brain that's simulating all of this for you. But that doesn't mean that what you are experiencing is not real to you, and that there aren't valuable lessons and observations and things that you can kind of take away from that within that experience. So I think that it's an interesting discussion. Anything else you wanted to share? Your thoughts, perhaps?
I just thought it sounded to me that maybe you guys were kind of falling into the whole skepticism that, you know, that there was, you know, nothing attainable. And I just wanted, you know, just to disagree and say that I think reason, because I'm not an acolyte of Ayn Rand either. I think she's right, you know, about a lot of things, but I think, you know, she's over the hill on other things as well, but
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think probably reason is the best way to find out what is real or what is not. So that is it.
Very good. Thanks for the call and your thoughts tonight. 855-450-FREE.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said earlier, I don't think that I believe that there's nothing that you can know for sure. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, well, I think that, like I said, you can know yourself better than anything else out there, you know, because you are the one experiencing what you're experiencing. But that's all you can ever really know.
What about this example? This is the first thing that popped into my mind. So let's say I were to purchase some MDMA from the black market and mm-hmm. I were to perform a test on it because I have a test kit, and if I were going to take it, I would test it first, and the test kit gives me results, and that tells me what's in it. Do I not know that? I mean, I guess it's a possibility that something has gone wrong with
the test kit. Sure.
But if it's, if I've gotten these test results over and over and over again, and I've taken it and I know it to be true, do I not know that?
Well, that comes back to, I think, what our caller earlier was talking about, the pizza guy, where things are just what we can determine is what's likely.
Right.
So that's the most likely explanation, is that you've tested this over and over again. You're familiar with the test. You're familiar with its results. You're familiar with what the results look like. So it's a pretty good likelihood that what you think you know is actually
the truth. I mean, I suppose it's possible, and this is the likelihood thing, I suppose it's possible that there could be another chemical out there that is feels just like MDMA, and I and also tests like it, but it's not MDMA. It could be something else that produces similar results.
Yeah.
But that just seems really unlikely.
Well, right. And so, you know, it's fun to talk about things like, you know, are we actually in the Matrix and is this all a big computer simulation?
I'm terrible at these kind of conversations.
I think they're interesting. In fact, I actually had a story recently that we never got to, which might be worth pulling up here, about is this actually a computer simulation? They are going to attempt to discern that through some sort of scientific testing. And again, who knows who's to say whether it's going to be accurate. But, you know, that's an interesting conversation to have. But ultimately, focusing too much on those sorts of esoteric ideas can lead you down a path of, you know, if you question reality too much, then you get into the possibility of going insane, right? Because I,
And it's kind of where religion stems from, right? It's just people want an answer to all of these questions that we can't answer. So, in many cases, people turn to religion, and I'm not sure if organized religion is particularly healthy in most cases.
We can get to this story about the simulated universe here in a moment. I think it's pretty interesting. But first, let's go to Chris listening in Indiana. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Chris.
Yes. I wanted to talk about how today we're talking suddenly with the Connecticut shooting. There's a lot of discussion about getting crazy people off the street, but you know, part of the reason some of this stuff went out of fashion was it was abused. And a couple of examples were...
What stuff went out of fashion? I'm sorry. The reason what went out of...
Committing people wholesale. And in the Soviet Union, they had a term called sluggish schizophrenia. The premise was that the Soviet Union had the best system on earth, that anyone that had these ideas about justice and freedom must be crazy and need to be locked up. And I also want to point out that the first, we all know about James Meredith, who was the first black student at the University of Mississippi. Previously, a man by the name of Clinton Washington King applied, and they locked him up because he was crazy, because only a crazy black man would want to get into the University of Mississippi. And so these kind of things can be abused.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're guaranteed to be abused. You put somebody in charge of deciding who should be locked in a cage, and inevitably they're going to lock away the people that, you know, they might have some sort of serious disagreement with. We were just talking about the Falun Gong in China allegedly being locked into forced labor camps simply because they believe differently from the Chinese communist government.
Yeah, the threshold, though, is even lower for these kind of things than a criminal case. At least you have a chance at a jury of your peers, you know, no matter how skewed that system is. But usually these insanity cases just take a judge. And so off you go.
Right, and there's Baker Act law. It's called the Baker Act in Florida, and they have different names for it all across the country. But it's the law that allows you to call the so-called authorities on somebody you know and basically have them committed.
It's indefinite, too. I mean, there's no definite release date.
Usually it's a 72-hour hold, but then they could, you know, evaluate you with their state shrink at some point, typically within there, and possibly extend that.
Okay, well, I just want to let you guys know my opinion on that. Thank you.
Hey, man, I appreciate the call and the thoughts here. 855-450-FREE, the SACL CAI toll-free line. And, you know, maybe the person who's out there ranting on the streets is, maybe they know what the truth is, and we're all just, you know, clueless. And that's going to get them locked up because they're saying something different from what everyone wants to hear. 855-450-FREE. Coming up, scientists can apparently test to see if the universe is a computer simulation. We'll find out more about that in moments. It's Free Talk Live.
What if I could show you a way to take as little as $5,000 and make $100, $1,000, or even more every day by working less than an hour a day with little or no risk? Would you be interested? Hi, I want to tell you about Tactic Trading, a school that teaches homemakers, students, entrepreneurs, executives, the unemployed, or the underemployed how to earn money every day using our proprietary charting tools, indicators which let you know when to buy and when to sell. I know when you hear the term day trader, it sounds risky, but we're so confident in our system that after you graduate, we will fund your trading account with up to $25,000. And here's the best part. When you trade, we'll let you keep up to 80% of whatever you make. Call 877-219-3096 to learn how you can participate in a free online webinar. That's 877-219-3096. Call today. Trading can involve substantial risk. Visit tactictrading.com/100 for complete disclosure.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We have witnessed two terrible storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic conditions since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future. And you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials. And you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? 409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I've been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com or call toll free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Whatever you want and do it toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-855-450-3733. Joining you in studio tonight is Ian.
And Julia.
It's the live Christmas Eve edition of the show. Thanks to Kyle, our board operator tonight, for taking the time to come in on what probably would have been a day off for him. to come here and do Free Talk Live. So do appreciate that. And, of course, all of our great radio stations that are carrying us throughout the holidays, and they didn't flip to Christmas music or something like that, which tends to happen in radio during these days. And it's usually a sad thing when it does, because typically a lot of times the station, if like a talk station goes Christmas music, odds are good they're not coming back to talk. So if your favorite talk station is playing Christmas
music,
there's
a lot of radio stations that play Christmas music.
Yeah, there are.
Today, I don't listen to the radio because I can't stand the static, and I can't
stand... I know.
Ugh, it bothers me. It's like, it's the equivalent of watching a DVD skip, you know, which is, it bothers me. And
you're
also,
spoiled, though.
The music selection is horrendous, so I just don't like it. Even, and I like talk radio, but any talk radio show I would want to listen to, I could download on the internet and listen to at my own time and hear it clearly. So why would I listen to the radio?
You're the reason why old media is dying, Julia.
I don't care.
You're spoiled with all your
garbage.
New media.
So, but I have a rental car right now because I was unfortunately in a car accident and my car is getting fixed. And so I was flipping through the radio because all my CDs are in my car.
Yep.
And I heard Christmas music on 10 stations, I swear. I mean, most of it didn't come in very clearly, but it was just one station after another. Christmas music, Christmas music, Christmas music.
Well, I think that's good because it'll make us more conspicuous. So if somebody is surfing through the band and looking for something to listen to and all they're hearing is Christmas music, maybe they'd be more likely to stop and listen to talk radio. So here we are tonight to take your calls about anything you would like at 855-450-FREE. We kind of ended up going from Chinese forced labor camps to a discussion about, you know, kind of this esoteric discussion about whether or not, you know, what is real knowledge? Can we really know things outside of ourselves? And ultimately, can we even know that the experience that we're having is real? What is reality? Well, according to Yahoo.com's The Sideshow, a Yahoo News blog, physicists are testing to see if the universe is a computer simulation. Will you take the red pill or the blue pill? Some physicists and university researchers say it's possible to test the theory that our entire universe exists inside of a computer simulation, like in the 1999 film The Matrix. In a 2003 University of Oxford University of Oxford philosophy professor Nick Bostrom published a paper, The Simulation Argument, which argued that, quote, we are almost certainly living in a computer simulation, unquote. Now, we've actually talked about that, I think, before on this radio program. And now a team at Cornell University says it's come up with a viable method for testing whether we're all just a series of numbers in some ancient civilization's computer game. Researchers at the University of Washington agree with the testing method, saying that it can be done. And a similar proposal was put forth by German physicists in November. So how precisely can we test whether we exist? Put simply, researchers are building their own simulated models using a technique called lattice quantum chromodynamics. And, of course, this is where stories like this completely break down, right? Because I don't know what lattice quantum chromodynamics is.
And who does?
And, right, well, apparently the people that are researching it probably know more than we do.
Right, but the average person in America does not know what this is.
Right, and, you know, it's always fun to have whatever that actually is attempted to be boiled down into some sort of understandable terminology by whoever the author of this particular blog post is over at Yahoo News. So, you know, we'll just put it out there that we who are doing this show do not understand what that means, and you who are listening are probably not scientifically minded and, you know, informed enough to really know. But, and while those models, the article continues, while those models are currently able to produce models only slightly larger than the nucleus of an atom, University of Washington physics professor Martin Savage says the same principles used in creating those simulations can be applied on a larger scale. He says this is the first testable signature of such an idea. If you make the simulations big enough, something like our universe should emerge. Now, for somebody to just throw those words out there, it makes it sound like he knows what he's talking about, and we're going to presume he does know what he's talking about for the sake of being able to have this conversation. But I really don't know what that means.
Well,
if you make a simulation big enough, something like our universe should emerge? I mean, that sounds really
far out.
Have
you ever tried talking about something that you may know a little bit about and embellishing and just talking like you're an expert.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked at Panera Bread, I used to work in the bakery, and I sort of prided myself in being knowledgeable about, somewhat knowledgeable about the product, because a lot of the kids that work there are, you know, they're just there on college, they got $8 an hour, they don't care about anything, and I find it really annoying when I go into a place and you ask someone something, and they, not only do they not know the answer, which obviously I didn't know the answer to everything, but they don't have any desire to direct you to where you can find the answer. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I don't know. So I really liked being knowledgeable, and I used to pride myself in being able to sell the bread, and I made it so I learned one or two things about each loaf of bread, so I really didn't know that much about the baking process and the bread, but I would word it in a way that I sound like, the way I would word the paragraph would make it sound like I really knew what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of compliments on it. And it's actually really fun to be able to embellish in that way and sort of make it sound like you're an expert.
I don't know if that's something you should be proud of, but it's
I can't think of another example of me doing this, so obviously yeah. It's not common.
I mean, would you call that BSing?
Well,
really,
I wasn't,
right? Because it's knowledge-based.
I wasn't BSing. I wasn't making things up that weren't true about the product,
yeah.
But just the way that I would structure the sentences would make... I would say facts, and I would structure it like I knew a lot about this particular loaf of bread. Because sometimes people would come in and they would say, like, I want a loaf of bread for this. What do you recommend?
People do want to feel like they're talking with someone that knows what they're
doing.
Right,
so I would just be able to craft the sentences. Mm. So I wasn't lying, but I was just fluffing, you know? I think that would be a good word for it. And it was kind of fun.
The testing method in this case is far more complicated. Consider the Cornell University explanation. Here's what they say. Quote, using the historical development of lattice gauge theory technology as a guide, we assume that our universe is an early numerical simulation with unimproved Wilson-Fermian discretization and investigate potentially observable consequences. Do you follow all that?
Nope.
Okay. To translate, now here's where they're going to try to boil this down for us regular folk. If energy signatures in our simulations match those in the universe at large, there's a good chance that we, too, exist within a simulation. Did you follow that one?
Not really.
Okay, so let me try it again. I'll just try it again by repeating it, because I knew you were looking at your laptop at that moment. They're saying that the translation of the Cornell speak is, if the energy signatures that they test in the simulations they create, so the scientists are creating their own simulations and testing some sort of signature of energy to that simulation, they're saying that if those simulation signatures match those that are found in the universe at large, there's a good chance that we as well are existing within a simulation. Interesting.
I understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, but it's still a difficult concept to wrap my brain around.
Sure, because what would it mean if it were true?
I don't know.
855-450-FREE, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-855-450-3733. We can dig a little bit further into that question, and you're welcome to share your thoughts as well. Of course, you can take over the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind live, Christmas Eve edition of Free Talk Live.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $34.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift, or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
For tonight, 855-453. You're certainly welcome to share your thoughts with us on whatever's on your mind. It's the live Christmas Eve edition of the program, and we're not really doing anything differently. I mean, we're here, and Julia, thanks for coming in tonight.
This isn't a different day for me.
No, that's true. And
except that I get a day off the middle of the week.
Well, and there's no Mark here as well, so we get a little bit of a different show going on because of that. Mark should be returning at some point this week. 855-450-FREE, and we'll continue doing live programming. I believe we'll be live tomorrow night as well as New Year's Eve. I have not heard otherwise, so I presume that we will. Hopefully our wonderful board ops will continue to come in and do a little bit extra work when they don't normally have to. So again, 855-450-FREE, the toll-free number here. The story is from Yahoo's Sideshow. It's a blog from Yahoo News where they're citing various different university researchers, physicists, claiming they have a way of testing to find out whether or not the entire universe exists within a simulation. And we'll continue that here in a moment. BitInstant.com, that's the fastest, safest, and easiest way to acquire bitcoins. We've talked about bitcoins a lot on this show, and you'll continue to hear about them because they are really important. In my opinion, they're already the most expensive, the most valuable currency in the world, and they've become that within about 2 to 3 years of existence. It's been an amazing rise to the top for the Bitcoin. There's no guarantee that it's going to stay there, but as of right now, there is no digital currency that can really compete with the Bitcoin. The Bitcoin's been around the longest. It has weathered through changes, and it's incredibly useful. You can transfer money instantaneously.
Well, it's easy, too, and that's what I like about it, as I'm not very knowledgeable when it comes to like investing money, that kind of thing. And Bitcoins is very simple.
It's simple.
Well,
but it's not easy for someone who doesn't know a lot about computing. I mean, I guess you don't have to know about it, but
that's the thing. I've watched several videos on Bitcoins, and it's still the concept confuses me.
Yeah.
But
it works.
It doesn't matter. It's easy for me to obtain, and obviously it's not like I'm saving all of my money in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But I...
No, that would be folly.
That would not be a good idea with anything, I wouldn't think.
No, you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
It's a lot easier for me to understand Bitcoins than it is for me to get into silver, personally. And it's easier for me to obtain the Bitcoins.
It's not hard to get silver. I mean, you can go go to gold.freetalklive.com and grab as much silver and gold as you would like. But you can't take that Bitcoin... Right, you can't take silver and gold and easily transfer it online. You just can't do that.
Right.
And pretty much silver and gold, you have to be willing to hand it over physically to somebody. Otherwise, you're paying shipping fees and risking losing it in the mail.
If I, for some reason, had to leave the country today, I would be able to have my Bitcoins wherever it was that I arrived.
Right,
not that I'm planning on having to leave the country, but it's not, you know, the government can't come and seize up my account.
They wouldn't know that you have them.
Nope.
I mean, you're going through customs. You don't have to declare your Bitcoins.
Right, I don't have to take them out and bring them with me. So there's that nice safety net that you, if something happened, you had some sort of emergency and you had to leave your area, you would be able to access them.
All good reasons to get into Bitcoin. It's for me, it's partially a way to get money out of the Federal Reserve note and keep it in something different. So it's sort of an investment, I guess, in that way. But it's also a useful currency in that you can easily transact money online, no problem, without, you know, middlemen, without fees, and it's great. So when you're ready to get some, go to BitInstant.com. And I didn't mean to make it sound like you have to be technically adept to do this.
No, you don't.
It's easier now than it was before. The Bitcoin has become easier to use over time as more people want to get involved with it, more developers get involved and come up with easy ways like BitPay.com, like we were talking about, if you want to be a business to accept Bitcoins online and convert them to cash automatically, BitPay can help you do that. So there's all these tools that have come out to help make using Bitcoin even easier. Like even the Bitcoin clients, there's competitive clients now. You've got the original Bitcoin client, which is software that you run on your computer, but the original client has a problem now. And the problem is that it downloads the entire blockchain, which the last time I looked a couple weeks ago was 5 gigabytes. So it can be a real hassle to download all that information just to get this client working, whereas there are now clients like the Electrum client, which relies on servers that are using that full blockchain. So the server has a blockchain, and your Electrum client just connects to the server. So as soon as you download and install the Electrum client, you're instantly connected. You don't have to download anything beyond that.
It's great that there is, because it's unregulated, there is competition is able to happen. So like with banks, they're very heavily regulated. They're virtually all the same. They offer the same products and services, and they don't really change or do anything different.
Yep.
You know, so this is something that I think is really cool about Bitcoins. Another thing that I think is really cool about Bitcoins is that there are, like, I see things getting really amazing because the possibilities are endless as far as competition is concerned.
Right, blockchain.info, you can get their app for your Android, or if you've got a jailbroken iPhone, you can get the app for that as well. And that allows you to have your Bitcoins right on your phone, and blockchain's not the only one with an app. There are multiple apps out there for this, but allow you to keep your Bitcoins on your phone. You scan a QR code on somebody else's phone or wherever else, and you can send that person Bitcoins instantaneously. The easiest way to get them, though, is BitInstant.com. It makes it possible for you to deposit cash at more than a million locations, including your own computer. I just used Dwolla, for instance, through BitInstant.com. And you can do the cash deposits in more than 30 countries. I've also gone to CVS and Walmart and tried it there, and it works. It's easy, and BitInstant.com lets you do it. Go there and select how you want to fund your account and where the account's located, and then make the deposit. That's simple. BitInstant.com. So the story here is from Yahoo News, and they are talking about university physicists who are saying that they have a way now of testing whether the entire universe exists in a computer simulation. And basically, they're checking energy signatures of what we consider reality versus a simulation that they're creating, and they're seeing if the signatures match. There's a much more scientific explanation.
So, do these scientists, were they really questioning whether or not this was a computer-simulated reality? The reason I ask is because I guess this is something that I don't really think of. Like, when The Matrix came out, people said, is this really what's happening, or... You know, is it as we know it? But I guess I've never met anyone who really thinks this. So I think it's interesting that scientists cared enough to do a study.
Well, you know, is art imitating life or is life imitating art? I mean, in this case, the original inspiration for this was the study by, or not only if it was study, but it was a paper presenting an argument. Nick Bostrom wrote it back in 2003, Are You Living in a Computer Simulation? So this is the opinion of one scientist type, and his abstract, which is, you know, the very basic summary of his lengthy, you know, how many pages is this? Quite a few. A very lengthy paper is as follows. The paper argues that at least one of the following propositions is true. Number one, the human species is very likely to go extinct before reaching a post-human stage. Two, any post-human civilization is extremely unlikely to run a significant number of simulations of their evolutionary history or variations thereof. Three, we are almost certainly living in a computer simulation. It follows that the belief that there is a significant chance that we will one day become post-humans who run ancestor simulations is false unless we are currently living in a simulation. A number of other consequences of this result are also discussed. So the suggestion is that, you know, we have already achieved being, you know, transhuman, the robot bodies or whatever. And
my
now,
robot body needs to be more effective. I need an upgrade.
And that now, well, that you're not in a robot body at the moment, that you're just some sort of a simulation that, you know, we have created to, I guess, relive the past or something like that. I think that's what he's getting at there. So for what it's worth, there's that. But the, you know, the question is, what would it mean if it were true? And that was a question I asked at the end of the last segment. If it turns out that this is a simulation, of course, you know, that's going to be the opinion of these people if their experiments are successful. It doesn't mean that that's true necessarily. But let's say that that's what they end up reporting, is that, yep, sure enough, it's a computer simulation. Would that change anything about how you live and what you think? 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You are welcome to share your thoughts. This is Free Talk Live.
What if I could show you a way to take as little as $5,000 and make $100, $1,000, or even more every day by working less than an hour a day with little or no risk? Would you be interested? Hi, I want to tell you about Tactic Trading, a school that teaches homemakers, students, entrepreneurs, executives, the unemployed, or the underemployed how to earn money every day using our proprietary charting tools, indicators which let you know when to buy and when to sell. I know when you hear the term day trader, it sounds risky, but we're so confident in our system that after you graduate, we will fund your trading account with up to $25,000. And here's the best part. When you trade, we'll let you keep up to 80% of whatever you make. Call 877-219-3096 to learn how you can participate in a free online webinar. That's 877-219-3096. Call today. Trading can involve substantial risk. Visit tactictrading.com/100 for complete disclosure.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Hattler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Attention, this is an announcement for our listeners who drive gasoline vehicles. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that there is now an automotive accessory that exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. Consumer Protection has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with an accessory called Platinum 22. To find out if Platinum 22 will give your vehicle 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me correctly. 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that the Platinum 22 accessory will deliver 22% more miles per gallon to most gasoline vehicles. You should pick up the phone and call 1-800-LESS-GAS to find out if it will help your vehicle. That's 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-LESS-GAS. 22% more miles per gallon. 1-800-LESS-GAS.
Check out StunGunMikes.com. They specialize in home and business security, family safety, and personal protection. At StunGunMikes.com, they have everything from mace pepper sprayers to cell phone stun guns and everything in between. Visit www.StunGunMikes.com for all your security needs. We even ship your products the very next day. That's www.StunGunMikes.com for real spy gear, real security, and awesome gadgets.
Are you looking for a great one-of-a-kind gift idea? Then look no further than www.dapgadgets.com. They have radio-controlled planes, helicopters, buggies, cars, and more. How about an insane horsehead pillowcase, MP3 accessories, or even an iPhone 5 wallet case? Visit www.dapgadgets.com and be sure to check out their featured gadgets page. Shipping is only $9.99 and is shipped within 7 days or less. Check out www.daftgadgets.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free at 855-453. The SACL CAI toll-free line. Join us online over at freetalklive.com. And while you think about the answer to the question, what would it mean if it turned out it were true that this were all a computer simulation, I've actually pulled up the summary written by Nick Bostrom, who is the author of The Simulation Argument, a paper written in 2003. He's a University of Oxford philosophy professor arguing that we almost certainly live in a computer simulation. But the paper itself is obviously really lengthy. We're not going to be able to share that with you. But I'm pretty sure we talked about this in 2006, because I definitely know we've talked about this specific paper, and I'm pretty sure we've read this before. But since it's been more than half a decade since we've done it, I think it's fair to bring it back up, considering it's the topic of discussion at the moment. Your thoughts are welcome, though. 855-450-FREE, the SACL CAI toll-free line. So this is his summary in PDF form from simulation-argument.com. Do we live in a computer simulation? By Nick Bostrom. Science has revealed much about the world and our position within it. Generally, the findings have been humbling. The Earth is not the center of the universe. Our species descended from brutes. We are made of the same stuff as mud. We are moved by neurophysiological signals and subject to a variety of biological, psychological, and sociological influences over which we have limited control and little understanding. One of our remaining sources of pride is technological progress. Like the polyps that over time create coral reefs, the many generations of humans that have come before us have built up a vast technological infrastructure. Our habitat is now largely one of human making. The fact of technological progress is also, in a sense, humbling. It suggests that the most advanced technology we have today is extremely limited and primitive compared with what our descendants will have. If we extrapolate these expected technological advances and think through some of their logical implications, we arrive at another humbling conclusion. The simulation argument, which has caused some stir since I published it 3 years ago. The formal version of the argument requires some probability theory, but the underlying idea can be grasped without mathematics. It starts with the assumption that future civilizations will have enough computing power and programming skills to be able to create what I call ancestor simulations. Now remember, just to break away from his explanation for a moment, We've certainly talked about Ray Kurzweil on this show and the prediction, the idea that at some point this singularity will occur where basically computing brain power will surpass the human brain power, and we will see, you know, basically the merging of technology with humanity, creating cyborgs, and eventually, you know, the transition to full-on, you know, a robotic future for humanity.
I really hope I get to see this.
Well, according to Kurzweil, it could be within our lifetimes due to the relatively increasing clip, this exponential increasing of technology. Moore's Law, for instance, which of course is just an observation and could be surpassed at some point, shows processing ability is constantly cranking up. So it's not unbelievable to suggest that this could happen within the next 20 years or so, or at least reaching a singularity.
Well, they do have, now it's happened many times where they'll hook up a computer or a robot body part to somebody, and the person is able to control it with their mind.
Sure. Yeah, we're starting to see we're starting to see the beginnings of that melding of humanity with robot. And eventually, the idea would be that if the computer brain is more advanced than the human brain, then it doesn't need the human brains anymore to, you know, continue upgrading to the next version. The computer can then work on its own software. It can then improve itself. And so successive generations of computers would become faster and faster, and they would be doing their own programming at that point, largely leaving the rest of us to be irrelevant. And so we would be silly to not incorporate the technology within ourselves to extend our life and all that. But that's transhumanism. It's another discussion. We're talking about what people who are that advanced, what that, whatever that would be, whatever you want to call it, a race or being or organism, whatever that structure of society would end up being, could they create these, what he's talking about here, ancestor simulations, that is, detailed simulations of those who are writing the simulations, predecessors, detailed enough for the simulated minds to be conscious and have the same kinds of experiences that we have today. Think of an ancestor simulation as a very realistic virtual reality environment, but one where the brains inhabiting the world are themselves part of the simulation. The simulation argument makes no assumption about how long it will take to develop this capacity. Some futurologists think it will happen within the next 50 years, but even if it takes 10 million years, it makes no difference to the argument. So let me state, writes Bostrom, what the conclusion of the argument is. The conclusion is that at least one of the following three propositions must be true. One, and we went over this briefly a moment ago, this is his explanation. Almost all civilizations at our level of development become extinct before becoming technologically mature, meaning that if there's some sort of extinction due to nuclear holocaust or some sort of world-ending traumatic event, that obviously then they wouldn't get to the point of being able to develop those simulation softwares because everybody would be extinct. So he accepts that as one possibility for the future. Two, the fraction of technologically mature civilizations that are interested in creating ancestor simulations is almost zero, meaning that once civilization gets to the point where they're a bit able to do a simulation like this, that they would just decide they're not interested in doing that.
Well, what would be the point?
Exploration?
I have to say that if this
What's the point of playing video games?
If this is a simulation, it's a really crappy one.
What do you mean
life
by that?
Life could just be a lot. I could be on a beach right now with a drink with an umbrella, you know, being served to me. And I'm just saying that we work really hard. Terrible things happen all the time. Is that what people want to be simulated, or are they just torturing us?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, what are those who, if this is a simulation, what are their intentions in creating this? Maybe, you know, life is so blissful, as you're talking about, that they wanted the ability to feel the difficulties of life that that we feel.
Right, like suffering makes sense because it is how people get stronger, and it happens with all species. But if we've advanced to the point where that's not happening anymore and we're just simulating all of these bad things happening, why? Then our robot overlords are just mean.
Well, that's certainly a possibility, and as he acknowledges...
And he created them, so they should be nicer.
As he acknowledges, well, I guess it would depend on how we treat them after we create them. And, of course, we...
I treat my robots very well.
Right. We is a big category, right? So some people may be very mean to robots, while others may not. And hopefully the robots will
have
the ability...
I am very nice to robots.
Right. Hopefully the robots will have the ability to discern who their friends are and who aren't.
Yes. You would think that they would have that ability.
Number two, so, you know, he admits that number two is a possibility that, you know, in the future, whatever future civilizations may not be interested in running ancestor simulations. But then again, look at all the evidence. I mean, we've got video games today where, you know, you can go and play Napoleon or whoever, and you can be some sort of, you know, previously existing person doing some existing battle, like, you know, reenacting the Civil War, for instance. Some people are very interested in taking part in something that they didn't have the ability to. But anyway, number three.
Do those people really want the ability to fight in civil war? That sounds awful.
I don't think so. I don't think they want the ability to die in civil war. But that doesn't mean they're not fascinated by it and that they wouldn't be interested in, to some extent, having the ability to relive some of that. Number three is that you almost are certainly living in a computer simulation. And so Bostrom asks, how do we reach this conclusion? Suppose first that the first proposition is false. That is, that everyone became extinct. Then a significant fraction of civilizations at our level of development eventually become technologically mature. Suppose, too, that the second proposition is false. Then a significant fraction of these civilizations run ancestor simulations. Therefore, if both one and two are false, there will be simulated minds like ours. If we work out the numbers, we find that there would be vastly many more simulated minds than non-simulated minds. We assume that technologically mature civilizations would have access to enormous amounts of computing power. So enormous, in fact, that by devoting even a tiny fraction of that computing power to ancestor simulations, they would be able to implement billions of simulations, each containing as many people as have ever existed. In other words, almost all minds like yours would be simulated. Therefore, by a very weak principle of indifference, you would have to assume that you are probably one of these simulated minds rather than one of the ones that are not simulated. Hence, if you think that propositions 1 and 2 are both false, you should accept the third. It's not coherent to reject all three. It should be emphasized that the simulation argument does not show that you are living in a simulation. The conclusion is simply that at least one of the three propositions is true. It does not tell us which one. In reality, we don't have much specific information to tell us which of the three propositions might be true. In this situation, it might be reasonable to distribute our credence roughly evenly between them. We'll continue the discussion here in moments. 855-450-FREE is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And apparently the world didn't end a few days ago, but some people are still asking whether or not it even exists in the first place. But we're kind of examining these ideas and would love to continue that here in a moment. Also, you can bring up whatever's on your mind, plus news about teens and pot use. Julia's got that to share with us tonight. It's Free Talk Live.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit weusecoins.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-800-832-0768. Again, 800-832-0768. That's 1-800-832-0768.
There's a guy named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and a naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why is this country spending more money on healthcare? By far, and ranking 50th in health and longevity worldwide. Doc believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and obtaining optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic pharmaceutical drugs that lead to side effects that require more expensive and toxic pharmaceutical drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies to our own destruction, no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our health and healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare, and I've joined forces with him to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit brightsideben.com and listen to Doc Wallach's deadly recipe lectures. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join our Brightside Ben team. Go to brightsideben.com. That's www.brightsideben.com.